With me. Father God, we thank you that we are yours and you are ours. God, we thank you for that grace that has flowed down to us. And God, we pray that we would be a reflection of that grace. When people look into our face, God, and in our heart, that a smile would come for us that says that we have that love of Jesus inside us. We dance and sing and rejoice in you, Lord, that we be one with you. We love you, Jesus, this day. In the name of Jesus we pray. Amen. This time the children can go to children's worship. And us who are not children are staying. Let's open our Bible to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1. And we've started a series in Romans about God's grace. And we're looking at Paul, who wrote Romans, and examining his grace to us. And a lot of times in my own life, I know I struggle, have a tug of war between living in grace and living by the law. Do any of you have a similar struggle sometimes? Well, Paul did. And it's very obvious when he writes Romans. A lot of times this struggle, tug of war between the law and grace reflects in our view of God and how we see him. Is he a father that's going to bring condemnation, or is he a father that's going to bring grace, or a father that's going to bring just the right discipline with love? It also affects our view of ourself. And when we do something wrong or we do something right, we judge ourselves according to those things of whether it's right or wrong. It also determines our view of others, how we think they'll be looking at us when we come in here today, and how we may view them as they come in. It deals with a lot of different areas of our life. We begin this journey of grace with Paul through the pages of Romans, checking it out. And I love about Romans is it has everything just the way it needs to be right up. And we get this zenith, this extreme height, this hinge. The door opens in Romans 8. And Romans 8, 1. And I think we have this verse up here. And let's read this together, everyone. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Praise the Lord. And that reminds me of other verses in John where it says, if you know the truth will set you free, free in Jesus. That if you have the Son will set you free. Verses that say, for you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear. How many of you live in fear? I know I do quite often, and that's how I react and come out. But you receive the spirit of sonship or daughtership. Praise the Lord. We're adopted. We're loved. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit testifies with our spirit. God's Spirit wants to talk to us. His Spirit talks with our spirit that we are God's children. You know the Lord, you are God's child. So we have questions that we asked last week, and we'll continue to ask these questions. Feel like you're free. Feel like you're living life in a prison? Do you tend to live more on the side of law or maybe more on the side of grace? How's your view of God when you come before him and pray? Who is God to you? How about yourself when you're looking at yourself and you go from day to day? But also, how about your view of others? Very real that this tug of war goes on. And there is a balance between doing what's right the law that's given to us, and grace. But for Jesus, when we come to Him, that balance tips towards that grace. We begin this journey, and I've entitled the series, Real Grace. Are you living it? Are you living it? Romans, last week we looked at, and I really like verse 5. It says, through Him, through Jesus, and for His name's sake, we receive grace and apostleship to go and share the Word of God to the Gentiles in obedience by faith. And this whole thing that He received grace, you know, He could have said a lot of things, but, you know, I received love, I received the law, I received, you know, a pat on the back. He says, I received grace. And grace just really speaks of who we are as believers in Christ. That the reality comes out very true about who God is and who we are. The fact just comes that we're sinners saved by God's grace. And I always just say amen to that. That's just the way it is. Praise God. And that grace is Jesus. We also talked last week about how we don't want to get them mixed up. We want to have that grace up there in front, understanding who we are. Because when it gets to Paul's apostleship, or we say his work, his calling, we don't want to get those out of line. We want to keep that grace first. Because when we switch them around, a lot of times we start to say that I am what I do. That my work is determined fully by my works. And when people look at me, if I'm doing a good job, then whew, I'm safe, I'm okay, you know, things are good. A lot of times, I cannot be judged if I'm juggling all the balls just right. Everybody's looking at me like, wow. But then if you drop one, the judgment comes. We're not a product of just our production. We say we're not a human doing, but a human being. God wants you to be free. So we talked last week about verse 6. It says, and you also among those who are called to belong to Jesus. He calls everyone and gives us a choice. Today we just have a simple message. It's just on verse 7. Open your Bibles to Romans 1. We look at verse 7. And this is basically, you know, Paul gives an introduction of who he is, what he's about, sharing the gospel, about his grace, about his apostleship. And then he just gives a greeting to the church at Rome. And he says, to all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be saints, grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. What are some things you see there initially? To all in Rome who are loved by God. Or other versions said, the beloved of God. A greeting not only to the Romans, but when we read it, we can see a greeting to us, that you are loved by God. It goes into something interesting next. You are loved by God and called to be, what does your Bible say there? Called to be saints? Anyone have anything different? Called to be holy in some versions. Called to be saints. Are any of you saints here? Well, you might know if you're in the Word of God, and you understand, yeah, I'm a saint. But a lot of times when we think of saint, we think, you know, Pope, Mother Teresa, you know, that type of a saint. And we're like, whoa, okay, you know, maybe I'm not all the way there. But this word saint just comes from the root word of the Greek for holy, to be holy, agios. Are you agios? Are you holy? Are you called to be holy? Also, when we get the word sanctify or sanctification, that also is from the root word of agios, or holy. They're connected. You feel that way? You're called to be holy? When we talk about purpose-driven life, because he talks about is a character development, about becoming more like Christ. A change of behavior, a change of attitude. And you've heard me speak about the two S's before. One is to be saved. Praise God that He saved us. And the second is, he wants to sanctify us. And, you know, after we're saved, he just doesn't say, okay, now you're on your own, go ahead, see you later, take care. He's saying, I want to continue to grow, to continue to be under construction. Now, as I think about this, in these, the beloved of God, which you are, and called to be holy or to be saints, which he's calling to be, I thought of some warnings. And let's see. Warning number one, don't separate love, you are the beloved of God, and holiness. Paul here addresses the church in two ways. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called by saints. You're loved by God and you're called to be holy. But a lot of times when we start to think about these, we get them separated. When we talk about grace, we separate these two out. Oh, you know, God loves me. This, he accepts me whatever I do. I can kind of do whatever I want. You know, it's okay. I'm saved now, so, you know, how I act and what I do, you know, I'm going to get grace for it anyhow. So, do kind of a little bit whatever I want. No. They go together. That when God has saved us and he's given us his grace, that then should urge us on even more. He loved me, therefore I want to love others. And I want to be transformed. I want to be changed. I want to be more holy like Jesus wants me to be. Character development. Now, the other warning that we have to put with this is that sanctification, that becoming holy as God, or that character development, that change, is a process. I don't know if the picture does it justice, but this little bird is growing and learning the process. And someone larger is helping them out. It's a process. And a lot of times, I call it lie of the law number one. Lie of the law number one. Says, I'm a Christian and now I'm completely holy. I'm called to be holy. I'm going through the process. But a lot of times we think, oh man, I was baptized, now I'm holy. No, that's not true. I still got a lot of things to work on, but that's kind of what around me is telling me. And I know when I walk in the door today in church, that's how I am. No. Don't believe the lie. Christian, I'm under construction. It's a process. I'm getting my character developed and changed. And in this area, praise the Lord, he has helped me climb to the top of the mountain and I am there. But in this other area, I am still climbing. I am still being transformed. And my brother is walking with me, hand in hand, as we become more like Christ. Many of us in the church, we get confused. We think that the church is supposed to be just all tidy and clean and everything is exactly where it's supposed to be. Everyone's exactly what it's supposed to be. Fact is, what is the church? The church is a hospital. It's where people come that are needy. We got problems. We need help. That's why we need Jesus. Jesus came to seek and save the those that are tidy and clean, got it all together. No, those who are lost. He says it came for those who are sick. If we look at one another and we just say he should have it all together, she should have it all together, we're going to be right off it. If we come and say that person just like me needs grace and is developing and being developed, they're in the construction zone. You know, we all should wear that tape around us, that yellow tape, under construction zone. And some of us, we can take off pieces and go through life, and pretty soon maybe we just have a little one. But that's not how it is. We don't know a person's heart. We don't know where they're at in the whole process. Sanctification, character development, is a process. And we're all going through that process.
The next I call concern. It could be lie of the law number two. Lie of the law number two. It's just real. We can't help it, but you know, something has happened that outside the church, many people are looking in the church or at the church, us who are Christians, saying, he's a Christian. He thinks he's holier than thou. Look at that, he's called to be holy, beloved of God. What if we translate that, he just says he thinks he's better than me. Now we know that's not true. We know that's not what we're trying to portray or help them to conceive, but that's how those outside the church or have gone to church and have left, that's how their heart feels. A lot of times what happens in us is we don't have that tape on us. We don't convey that part that we're under construction. We act like we don't have any needs or weaknesses or problems. That, hey, I failed, but hey, I'm not going to really sh** too much about that at all. I got sins, but we really never talk about it. How Jesus is working in us, shaping us, helping us. One thing that we share with all people over all the world, as Job talked about this, is struggles. Whoever walked into here today, you know, if you're young, maybe you've never had too many struggles. Praise the Lord. But as you get older, you'll find more and more. I don't want to disappoint you, but that's what we all share. We all share struggles. But somehow we've gotten into this, you know, I'm a Christian now, and I'm completely holy, or that's how people are seeing me, and that's how I'm feeling. I have it all together. I'm not really supposed to really share too much of the problem thing, because I know what happens when I do. But the fact is, we still have the problems. We're still growing. The world knows it. They know it for themselves. We know it. But somehow we begin to point fingers. And people outside the church, they're saying, hey, this is kind of fake. This isn't real. I know they got problems. I know that they're under construction and they're growing. Why are they trying to put on this big facade? I'm just speaking, I'm not saying that this is necessarily always true or always the way it is. Many things that you hear outside is what we hear like that. We're under construction, character development, trying to become more like Christ. And what happens when we get this, I'm a Christian now, I'm supposed to be completely holy, instead of I'm working on it, God is worth me, he's given me grace. And when we hear this, he's a Christian, therefore he's better than me. What we get is these concepts, these products of these lies of the law that we're believing, they're believing, this whole thing going on. If non-Christians, they start to say, I really don't want to go to church. It's not a place where I can really express my needs, my problems, and find that hospital of help. They're saying, you know, a lot of times people inside the church are hypocrites. They're saying, church is not for me because I'm a sinner. That's how they're feeling. And that's just amazing that they would be thinking that church is not for me, Christ is not before me, because I'm a sinner. That's exactly who the church is for. That's exactly who Christ has come for. That's a whole challenging concept. As we believe these lies of the law, as Christians, a lot of times we say, oh, time to go to church. Let's get the mask out. Let's get the costume out. I got to get ready. A lot of times we come to church, we don't want to share our real self because we feel we'll be judged or condemned. A lot of us have a deep hole or emptiness the longer and more we grow. a lot of times the works and the service become some way that, you know, we don't really have to interact with the person beside us. As long as I'm busy, good to have you, nice to see you, I gotta go, I gotta do this, you know. I'm serving the Lord. I'm qualified. I'm justified. A lot of times there's just a lack of being real. Now, I'm not saying today after the sermon everybody's going to be, you know, I'm real, I'll tell you know everything. No, it's not going to happen like that. But today, even, Job and I didn't talk, but even the worship, you know, today we want to begin this process just to say, yeah, hey, we're both under construction. How's it going with you? Are you living more under the law? Are you living too much under the, you know, just the grace and being too free and you don't really care about the people around you? How's it going? So that we at C4, we the church, can reflect to people outside and inside the church that Jesus has come to save sinners, to share that grace and love with the world. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. For the law, because of Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death, because it all leads to. Hear the second part of verse 7. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see the two parts there. And this is the greeting. And if you read the epistles of Paul, the 13 of them, we see something similar that kind of goes over and over and over again. We're going to bring that up on the next slide. Sorry, so small. Romans 1, grace and peace. 1 Corinthians, grace and peace. 2 Corinthians, first grace. Galatians, grace and peace. Ephesians, grace and peace. Philippians, grace and peace. Colossians, grace and peace. 1 Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians. 1 Timothy, 2 Timothy. Grace and peace, grace and peace, grace and peace. Titus, Philemon, grace and peace. What are you hearing? Grace and peace. He doesn't come and say, law and condemnation to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. No, we're not seeing that. Paul, if Paul, we say, is one of the greatest apostles, the one who wrote the 13 books, most of our New Testament that we have, if he is saying grace and peace to you, what do you think we should be focusing on? What do you think our focus should be? I think you can figure it out. He's saying it's important. And we have this word, we know we've been talking about grace, and we'll talk more about that, but we have this word peace. And peace actually just comes from that understanding that we were alienated or separated from God. And now he's brought us back together. And within that relationship, that he's forgiven us, that now he's developing us, we understand the peace. Some of us are still trying to find that, our view of God. But to come and sit at the Father's feet and allow his Spirit to talk to our spirit. He corrects us when we need it. He calls us to change. Sometimes he says, my beloved. Usually he says that, my child. In that place, we have this peace. So even though grace and peace, two different words, really they're one and the same. Because we have peace because of his grace. One verse that I want us to remember whenever we hear this word peace from Paul is very much this. Isaiah 53:5. But he was pierced for our transgressions. He was crushed for our sins or iniquities. The punishment that brought us peace was upon him. And by his wounds, I healed. It's very much the meaning of peace. This is Paul's greeting. To all you in Rome who are beloved by God, you're loved, and you're called to be holy. You're saved and you're developing, you're becoming more like Christ. grace and peace. Just heap it on you. Receive some of it. That's his greeting. How about us as a church? Today, I'd like to just challenge us as a church. How do we greet? I'd like to talk about the welcoming spirit. To pray and ask God to give us a welcoming heart, a welcoming spirit. How do you greet people? Let's say we're in a classroom, we're here, and five of us are together and we're talking, and someone else walks into the room. Five of us are together, we're talking, and someone else walks into the room. What would you hope happened? Tell your neighbor. Whisper to your neighbor. What would you hope would happen? All of you have ideals, expectations. We're all different. But what would you hope would happen? Okay, anybody want to share some of their suggestions? Yeah. All right, five people become six people. Okay, anyone else? Go ahead, you can just share out loud. No one likes share? Yeah, Jimmy. Okay, hoping they brought chicken. Okay, some food. Anyone else? Yeah. Yeah, we call that acknowledgement. Even would be a little bit better than kind of notice, like, yeah, you see them? They're sitting right over there. Yeah, see? Have those five people go to that one person. Basically, what we would hope is that that five somehow would greet that one, or the one, we can even go the other way, would greet each of the five. We know which way is easier. We know. But to turn to them, to acknowledge them. Hi, how you doing? If they're new or we even know them, hi, how you doing? Welcome them. Come on in. Join us. Stand up. If you're sitting down, you know, the old hospitality, you always stand up when a woman walked in the room. Well, you can do that for men or women. Stand up. Go over to them. Say hi. Smile. There's different things of how we can go about it. Now, what if those five don't even acknowledge the one? What's that say? I don't care about you. Right? I only care about myself or my group. Right? You're not important. Right? If they don't even acknowledge that person. And for the person entering the room, how do you think they would feel if they didn't even acknowledge them? Not loved? Not accepted? Not needed? Even to the point is, it's not safe here. I'm going to leave, get out of here, run. Everybody knows the answers to these. We all know the answer. And what I would really encourage us is here to begin, to have that welcoming heart of all. Grace and peace to you. Might sound a little funny, but if you want to say that to people as they come in, that's fine. Or, hi, how you doing? That would be good. Now, why do you think we kind of become unwelcoming? There's a lot of reasons, but one I'll share is just it grows on us, right? It grows on us. It's something that's inherited. It's something that's learned. It's modeled by others, subconsciously, consciously. We pick it up. It kind of impacts us. Continue on. And that's what's happened a little bit to churches around the world. Apple tree grow what type of tree? Apple tree, which produces what type of fruit? Apples. So if we have an unwelcoming seed, it would grow an unwelcoming tree and produce unwelcoming fruit. But if we have welcoming seeds, welcoming trees, and a bunch of welcoming fruit will grow. I just put some pictures up here, but let's try to think about which one we want to be. Do we want to be that little, I don't know, what kind of seed is that? I don't know, we got an icicle off of it? Is that how you want to be? No, probably not. Or that welcoming, kind of let's grow together. Or these, hey, we're a bunch of marshmallows, let's all get around the warm fire, kind of expand and grow together, you know? You ever notice that, how those fires somehow, central brings everybody together and we're all kind of, well, anyhow. By this all men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. They'll just know it. My command is this, love each other as I have loved you. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's read that together. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, because through Christ Jesus, the law of the Spirit of life set me free from the law of sin and death. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that we could really greet people with your grace and peace, that peace that came upon us because of what you did upon the cross. That grace that was given to us, not because of what we did or who we are, not any of that, just because you, God, came from heaven to earth to welcome us, to be with God the Father through everything you've done. God, help us to be like Jesus, to walk across the room, to smile, even to wave to somebody, ask them to join us. God, I'm not acting like this is easy. A lot of times this can be difficult, especially if our personality is kind of more inward or introvert. But God, we ask that by the power of your Holy Spirit that you would warm us. Warm us around your Holy Spirit fire. You start a new spark in us and let us pass it on. Father God, protect us. Protect us from just those cliches and those things that we kind of know about people believe we're holier than thou or holier than they are. But God, we want to show them. We want to be people who says, yeah, I'm in this process of sanctification. Jesus is working on me. He's working on me. Do you want to join us? And we'll climb the mountain together. Father God, we thank you for your great mercy. We are not worthy to receive any of it. But all we can say